We ask that you lift up Deb this morning as she brings forth a message. Father, we ask also that you be with the First Presbyterian Church this morning. Their message, their pastor, their leadership, and their congregation, Father. Bring your hand mighty, mighty to bear on that church this morning, that they would feel your presence. Father, we ask for your blessing in the coming week. We thank you for those missionaries who have chosen to go out among us and from us to the ends of the earth. Lift them up, Father. Give them grace this morning. Give them peace. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. In your Son's name, amen. You may be seated.
Hi, Westview. This is Shelley coming to you from Nairobi, Kenya. I serve in several different countries throughout sub-Saharan Africa, and I'm really glad to have this opportunity to come and share with you briefly today. I know that you've been studying superheroes of the faith, and I'm very excited that in the last few weeks you have been focusing on the women superheroes in the Bible, and that's important to me because one of the main areas of focus in my work is leadership development for African women. Today, you're going to hear about Deborah in the book of Judges and the theme of faithful obedience. I think there's some real important connections between that story as well as the theme faithful obedience to the work that we are doing. We are developing a living learning community for African women for leadership development. And young African women come and live here in community while they pursue their degree. But at the same time, they find opportunity and space for healing from past traumas, and also they can grow in their faith walk, and very importantly, develop the capacity to engage in grassroots leadership work with their villages back in their home countries. And so really, as they go back to work with the rural women, that is our ultimate goal, to help them, because most of those rural women are living in extreme poverty and serious oppression. And it's as the younger African women develop their capacity to help the other women in the rural areas that we believe the efforts will be systemic and sustainable. In a lot of ways, it's a lot like the Homestead Ministry there in Manhattan. I think we share a lot of the same values and philosophies, and we're very inspired by Homestead. Another important connection between the theme today, faithful obedience, and what we're doing here is that sometimes, I think in the West, in America, we expect a fast result. We want a quick return on our investment. But in the kingdom of God, as most of you know, I'm sure, it can be very slow. And here in Africa, sometimes the problems can seem daunting and unending, but we don't want to be discouraged. We are encouraged in the presence of God with us and in the power of the gospel. And so we get up each day and do our best. And it reminds me of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when he says that the kingdom of God is much like planting a seed. Some people plant and others water it. And I believe that you are co-workers with me in this work. I thank you for your support, your financial support, but also your prayers, your encouragement, and your love. And I believe that with your help, we're going to see superheroes of the faith emerge right here through the Living Learning community. And I believe that in the end, we're going to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And you're going to hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant, for what you've done in Africa." And even though you haven't come here physically, you are here with me. So thank you very much, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
It's been so fun to be able to have the missionary highlights, hasn't it? Because in my opinion, our missionaries who have put their lives on the line, gone to a foreign place, you know, that takes a lot of courage, that takes a lot of faith, that takes obedience, and that's what we're zeroing in on today. So the missionary highlights have been great. We've been in the superhero series. As you know, this is the 9th superhero. We've had five guys, four gals. This is the last one. We're wrapping it up. Brian will be back next Sunday in the pulpit. My name is Deb Klutz. I've been on the team, the leadership team here for 20 plus years, so I'm an old timer. I'm also executive director of the Homestead Ministry, which is our transitional care ministry to survivors of sex trafficking, females. So, you know, this last week I was in Georgia and visiting my daughter and her family, and I've got two little grandsons, one's 5 and a half and one's 7, out there in Georgia. And I was not prepared to be immersed in the superhero venue. I mean, everything was superhero. We had to put on costumes to even do hide and seek, you know, because the bad guys were hiding and we were the superhero to go find them. And so it was Ezra's 7th birthday, and so we did a Batman cake for him, and he's in full garb. Like just full Batman garb with the mask, with everything. And he blows out all of his candles, and I said, "Wow, what wish you want to make? You know, you blew out all the candles." He goes, "I want to be the real Batman when I grow up." I was like, "I love that. I love that. You want to fight the bad guys, and you want to help people. That's so fantastic." So, you know, the superheroes of the faith have been we've been talking about them because we want those to be inspiring to you. You know, and I started thinking, is it just the little boys that get all hyped up about superheroes, or do the little girls also get pretty pumped and amped about superheroes? Because only about 25% of the superheroes in the Marvel and the DC comics are female. But Women's Media Center did a study, and they found that the female superheroes actually inspire, they produce courage and bravery in our girls. They feel like they can do anything. They can accomplish anything. They can conquer anything when they are watching these female superheroes. So superheroes have, they just play an important role for us, and so do our biblical ones. The gal that we're looking at today is Deborah. She's in Judges chapter 4 and 5. So just a little bit about Deborah. She's a prophetess. So she receives words from the Lord, a word from the Lord. She shares it with the people. She's anointed by God. She is close to God. She loves God. And you know, a lot of times a prophet will get this unstoppable urgency with the message or the mission that's just burning in them to walk out or to talk out. And so I think we also see a little glimpse of that in this story today. None of the other judges during this period of time are called a prophet. She's the only one. She's also a judge. So she settles disputes among the Israelite people. She's the 4th judge of 12 judges. She's the only female. And you know, that's really interesting in and of itself, that God would raise up a female in this patriarchal society. It's just so unlikely to fill that role of a prophetess and a judge as a female. It just goes to show, you cannot put God in a box. There is no formula. He decides who, he decides when, and how. And we got to trust him in that. And Deborah rises to the occasion. She has authority and a voice when most women did not have authority or a voice in serious matters. In fact, the judge is the top position during this period of time. So she has the final legislative, judicial, military, and social authority in the nation. She held court under a tree that was named after her. Deborah says yes to the ordinary, everyday, the daily grind. She says yes to the Lord. And then in the special assignments, she says yes to the Lord. And we'll see that this morning. A little bit of personal information about her. She's married to Lapidoth. How many of you have heard of Lapidoth? I didn't think so. There's nothing said about the man. But we do know, as many of you have said, and I've heard you say this, you married up. We know that he married up. This is a remarkable woman he's married to. And then we know also they don't have any biological children. But Deborah is called to be the spiritual mother to the nation during this time. So to set up the story, I'm going to bookend it. There's two bookends here, really. You know, Moses brings the Israelite people out of Egypt out of slavery. Joshua takes over, takes them into the promised land. Now, under Joshua's leadership, they're supposed to drive out all of the ungodly people groups. They're supposed to get them out of there. They're supposed to get rid of them. This does not happen. This does not happen. And so what you'll find is the Canaanites in the north continue to give the Israelites problems. In the central and the southern part of the country, the Philistines give them problems. Our story today, we're talking about the Canaanites giving them problems. So one bookend is Joshua and the elders there have passed away. So then judges are brought in to be leaders. Up until the other bookend would be when Israel is ruled by an earthly king. And if you fast forward to 1 Samuel, you'll find, from 1 Samuel 10, you'll find that King Saul is the first king. So this interim period here between Joshua's death and the first king is about 480 years. It's in the 12th, 11th century BC, and it's ruled by the judges. A group of unlikely heroes that fill the role of deliverer over and over and over again. So, you know, we might ask, well, why in the world does Israel need a deliverer over and over and over again? Well, there is a reason. There is a distinct pattern that they fall into repeatedly, repeatedly. And before we get too hard on them for that, I think that many Christ followers also fall into this pattern. And here's the pattern, the distinct pattern. Israelites, they turn away from following the Lord. They do evil. They worship idols. The Lord hands them over to an oppressive nation to spank them, to discipline them, to bring them back to himself. The Israelites cry out to the Lord, and the Lord rescues them through a judge. So you'll find this over and over and over again up until they are ruled by an earthly king. Now, our text today, chapter 4 of Judges. Ehud has died. He was the third judge. There had been peace in the land for 80 years. So here's what the text says. The Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, a Canaanite king. Jabin cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. So when we're talking about a spanking from the Lord, it's not necessarily brief. It's not like a, no. This was 20 years. Jabin's commander-in-chief, Sisera. And just to give you a little glimpse of their army, they had 900 chariots of iron. They were established. They were powerful. They were a richer culture than Israel. They seemed indefeatable. It just seemed like you couldn't take them down. And according to Judges 5:8, the Israelites possessed no weapons. Now, I don't know if that's because the Canaanites had disarmed them or if they made peace with them, but no weapons. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4 says, one day, Deborah sent for Barak. Okay, Deborah's received a word from the Lord. There's a prophecy that Barak is to take 10,000 Israelite soldiers and go to war against these undefeatable Canaanites. The Lord is promising a great victory. He's told them where this is supposed to happen, but they've got to trust him and go to war. So we've got a word from the Lord. We've got no weapons. We've got really no standing army, and we've got no details of how God's going to pull this off. I don't know about you, that would require so much faith. So much faith and obedience. And that is Deborah's superpower. Faith-filled obedience. Faith-filled obedience. There's a little glitch. Verse 8 of chapter 4, little glitch. Barak, he says to Deborah, I'll go, but only if you'll go with me. What? You're going to take our female prophetess judge and into a bloody battle with 900 iron chariots against the Canaanites? Barak, what's up? What's up, buddy? You know, did he think maybe she didn't hear right? You know, like, okay, that's a pretty crazy word, Deborah. I'm going to need you to put your life on the line as well if you're asking me to do this. Or did he just not trust the Lord? You know, was that an issue? I don't know if God can pull this off. Or did he need her as a security blanket maybe? You know, just here's God's anointed. She's heard this word. Maybe she'll get another word to say, retreat, don't do this. You know, what is it? I need her there at kind of a security blanket. Most likely he was trusting God because he's in the hall of faith. You know, Hebrews 11, verse 32, he is there. Barak is there. So I think he would trust a God. He knew God could pull this off. Don't know if he questioned the message or if he just needed the security blanket. Regardless, Deborah's response was a little bit telling because in verse 9, she says, I'll go with you. So great courage, great conviction, willing to put her life on the line and go out to battle. But because Barak requested she go with, he was not going to receive the honor. He was not. The victory over Sisera was going to come at the hands of a woman. Now, patriarchal society, this is a little bit of a disgrace, really, for something like that to happen. And, you know, at this point in the story, we think probably it's going to be Deborah. She's going into battle with him, so it's probably going to be Deborah. Verse 9 tells us that Barak, Deborah, they head off to the Kishon River near Mount Tabor. Sisera, commander of the Canaanite army, has been tipped off. He's there in full array, 900 chariots. And you know, this location should have been quite an advantage for him because it is dry season, no rain at all. And so I guarantee you, Sisera is thinking, I'm going to annihilate these Israelites. This is home court advantage that we're talking about. So let's read together what happens. What happens in the text? So we're looking at chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, and I'll read it with you up here. Deborah said to Barak, arise, for this is the day when the Lord's given Sisera into your hand. Has the Lord not gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and confused all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera dismounted from his chariot and fled away on foot. And then in chapter 5, it fleshes it out just even a little bit more from 20 to 22. It says, from the heavens, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept the enemy away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon, oh my soul, march on with strength. Then the horse's hooves beat loudly because of the galloping of his valiant and powerful steeds. So, Deborah gives the battle cry. We see Barak coming down the mountain with the 10,000. I don't even know that he got to the Canaanites before the Lord erupted this incredible storm, like lightning and thunder and hail and torrential rain. I mean, we know about torrential rain, right? Earlier in the summer here. What happens in torrential rain? The rivers swell. The ground becomes saturated. What is produced when the ground is saturated? Mud. How do iron chariots do in mud? Yeah, they're stuck. The flash flooding washes the soldiers away. You can see why there was confusion and they were terrified. It wiped out the Canaanite army, except one. Sisera himself gets out of his chariot. He runs. He is running. He ends up at the tent of a woman named Jael. Jael and her husband are known allies to the Canaanites. So Sisera feels like, okay, I can hide in this tent. So he goes in the tent. Jael is friendly. She helps him hide. He feels safe. She gives him some milk to drink. I mean, think about it. He's been in a battle. He'd been running. We don't even know how far he was running before he landed in her tent. He thinks he's safe, too, because, you know, men aren't supposed to be in women's tents back then. If you're not the daddy or the husband, you're not supposed to be in the tent. So he's like, oh, nobody's going to look for me in this woman's tent. So he's feeling pretty secure, really. He passes out. I mean, he's exhausted. He passes out in her tent. So it's obvious that Jael's a pretty smart girl. Pretty smart girl. She's putting two and two together. You know, she, here's the commander of the Canaanite army. He's on foot. He's running. He's alone. And he wants to hide. And he's hiding in my tent. If whoever's after him finds him in my tent, number one, he shouldn't be in my, he's not my dad or my husband. He shouldn't be in my tent. If they find him here, this probably is not going to be a good deal for me or my family. So, I think she had him pegged from the start, to be real honest. Women in that time were the ones who put up the tents. So, we're talking serious spikes. We're talking pointed tent spikes, hammers. In an act of courage, okay, you just need to fasten your seatbelt because this gets crazy. This gets crazy. Verse 21, she sneaks over to the sleeping Sisera with a tent spike and a hammer. She puts it down to his temple. Wham! 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 What? What in the world? She drives the tent spike through his head. Okay, number one, courage. Wow. Sneaking up to a sleeping commander, general? That's gutsy. What if he woke up? And then the accuracy and the strength. I don't know. How hard is it to drive a thing through a skull? I mean, wow. That's like crazy. She drives that thing through his skull. And I was trying to wrap my head around. You know, this is the equivalent probably of a stay-at-home mom taking out somebody like Osama bin Laden instead of the Navy SEALs. I mean, this is crazy. This is a housewife with a hammer who does in the greatest military leader of the day, an obscure Kenite woman. Wow. So Sisera does fall. He falls at the hands of a woman. It's not Deborah. It's Jael. This victory led to the overall victory over the Canaanites and the end to the Canaanite oppression of the Israelites. And so the scripture says in chapter 5, verse 41, it says that there was peace in the land under Deborah then for 40 years. So just to recap, Deborah's faith never wavered. She was convinced of the message God gave her. She was able to hear the Lord at a time when most people weren't even trying to hear him. They weren't listening. They were worshiping idols. Deborah was willing to take the lead. She had faith-filled obedience against incredible odds. Incredible odds. You know, there's a lot of takeaways, and you'll be very thrilled to know it doesn't involve a spike and a hammer. The takeaways do not involve that. The first takeaway would be, you know, I want to go back to that sin cycle that we talked about during that 480-year period with the judges. I think that we find ourselves sometimes as Christ followers also in sin cycles. Sin, confess, sin, confess. But just know God loves you too much to let that keep happening. There's going to be a spanking. There's going to be discipline coming. My encouragement is if you find yourself in a sin cycle, get help. Get help before the discipline comes. Secondly, when God calls you to do something, say yes. Say yes. Be obedient. Watch him show up. Watch him do amazing things. Thirdly, God uses unexpected people like you, like me, to be his superheroes. The entire book of Judges, really the whole Bible, is filled with unlikelies. Unlikelies who said yes to God, and he endows them with the superpowers needed to walk out the situation, to work in the situation. Say yes. And then the last takeaway, never face your enemies alone. Never face your enemies alone. You know, in this story, it's a story of teamwork. You have got Deborah, you have got Barak, you've got Jael. And even in the comic book world, the superhero comic book world, you've got the Avengers. I mean, you've got Spider-Man and Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, Black Panther, others that come together to face a common foe, to take them out. You've got Justice League, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and others in that. I think the equivalent would be spiritual community for us. Spiritual community. When we're facing hard things, when we're facing huge battles, we're facing foes, strong, strong foes, we need to lean into spiritual community to encourage us, to be truth tellers to us, to walk alongside us, to enter into the battle, maybe even if it's appropriate. Spiritual community is so important. In fact, I think that Deborah's kryptonite would be going solo, going alone. I think that our kryptonite is trying to go alone, thinking, I've got this, I can do this, I don't need anybody, or I don't want to bother anybody. This isn't a big deal when it is a big deal. Spiritual community, so important. In fact, you know, I believe that when we share the word, and the word goes out, Scripture says it'll accomplish what it has been sent to do. It does not return void. So I want to take just a couple minutes for us to sit in these takeaways. And I'm going to pray, because I believe the Holy Spirit's going to personalize for you if you're listening, and we'll pray for ears to hear. But let's just pray together over the takeaways from this passage. Lord God, I pray for anyone who might be in this sin cycle, stuck, like a hamster on a wheel, stuck. God, I ask that you would give them the courage to reach out for help. You love them. You love them too much to see them stay in this stuck place. Father God, I pray for those you've been nudging, you've been prompting, you've been prodding. Lord, may they have the courage to say yes to you, to be obedient to you. Whatever it might be, if it's in the daily grind or if it's a special assignment. Lord, I pray for those who hear the message that God could never use me. God can never use me. My life's a mess, or I'm a mess, or my past, or whatever it might be. It's a lie. It's a lie. God uses unexpected, unlikely people. May we not disqualify ourselves from your Spirit's use. And Father, may we lean into spiritual community. Take off our masks, get vulnerable, get real, get honest, and reach out. Set aside our pride. And Lord, may spiritual community step up and step in and love well and walk alongside and encourage. Holy Spirit, we're just asking you to speak to our own personal hearts. You're the one who does that. You're the one that personalizes. And so we're just blessed, Father, by your word. We're blessed by those you've raised up in Scripture to be an example to us. Oh God, that we would hear your voice and we would say yes to you and step into anything that you're asking of us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we didn't talk a whole lot about chapter 5 of Judges. It's actually a song. Turns out that Deborah is also a composer and sings, and so her and Barak sing this beautiful song. It's a song of victory over what God did to really annihilate the Canaanite army. So it's a fantastic celebration song. I would encourage you to read it this next week. We have another victory that we're celebrating this morning, and that is a Homestead graduate, which is always fantastic. Ashley, where are you? Come on up. Ashley has been with us for 2 years now. She comes to us from Wichita, Kansas. She's a little bit unique to us because she was exploited but not trafficked. So that puts her in a little different position than our other ladies who are in the program. Nonetheless, she has accomplished some really amazing things while she's been here. She has obtained her high school diploma. She has completed her career training at Job Corps in construction. While completing all the requirements of the homestead program, which is no little thing, and she's been a single parent to her little girl, Ziana, who when they came, she was 2, and now she's 4. Wow. It is a victory. I want her to be able to express her gratitude to you all. If you want to say thank you to them.
Thank you so much.
And what's your plans next?
I'm planning on going to college.
Going to college, right here in town. It takes a lot of courage for Ashley even to get up here. The anxiety is high, as you can only imagine. But Ashley, on behalf of Homestead Ministries, on behalf of this body of Christ and others, so many others that have poured into you and Ziana over 2 years, I present you with this diploma of graduation. Congratulations. Always an exciting thing to have a graduate. We are going to take the offering now. So if the ushers would come forward, we will pray over offering. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your resources. You are such a gracious God. You are such a lavish God. You provide for us in so many unique and amazing ways. God, that we would have hearts poised to hear your voice even now. What do you ask of us? What would you ask of us now? What do we put into the offering? Is it money? Is there something else over and beyond that you're requiring of us? We want to be obedient this morning. We want to hear and we want to say yes. And so that's our prayer during this offering time. Father, that you would move, you would work, you would speak. You would have your way, you would be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. A couple of announcements while we're passing these baskets. This Friday is Harvesters, and so if any of you are available to come and help pass out food, that would be fantastic on Friday. The other thing is Vacation Bible Experience is right around the corner. So we're talking August 6th through 9th. It'll be in the evening. Register out in the foyer and invite your friends. You know, that's the best way to get people here is to invite your friends and to bring other families. I believe also they're collecting shoebox lids. So it must be a craft in the VBE. So please bring your shoebox lids as well. Just to wrap up this series, you know, I'm going to just run through the 9 superheroes that we've talked about and the superpowers that God gave them to accomplish what they were asked to do. The first was Caleb. He was wholehearted. Elijah, expectant faith. Abraham, patience. Job, perseverance. Moses, humility. Esther, courage. Ruth, boldness. Mary and Martha, devotion. And Deborah, faith-inspired obedience. I hope, it's been our prayer actually, that you all are inspired by these superheroes. That you all realize that you also are a superhero when you say yes to God. When you say yes to his prompting, his prodding, his spirit's going to put the superpowers within you, the capabilities to walk out what he's asking you to do. And that would be the challenge for this week. It would be to listen, to hear, and to obey. And I can't wait to hear the stories. I want to hear a story like this crazy jail thing or something, you know? But God is amazing. He does creative things. He works in powerful ways. And it can happen through you and me. So have a great week and listen and obey.
trading punches with the heart of darkness. Going to build